This is episode 182, recorded September 26th, 2014. Packard pokes at Little Pink Churches. Insert tab A into slot B. I want to thank Killbees from the chat room for this week's show title.
You can help support and promote the show by purchasing our merchandise at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt, where you can choose from a variety of different items like hoodies, hats, and bears. Oh my! Put a Packard Pokesat mug in your hands today.
Do you like Packard Pokesat and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokesat, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokesat. I am your immutable and frozen host, Packard Sonic. Join us tonight. Join us tonight from the far middle of Michigan is Dave, you're damned.
Dave's here, man.
Dave is here, man.
He's here.
And join us from the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
I am doing it from the home. That's the only way I can do it. If I try doing this out on the street, they throw fruit at me. So,
catch it and call it salad.
Well, I tried that, but then they kept interrupting my salad. So, hey, what can I do?
The Packard loves tossed salad, so...
Oh! Oh! It's show number 182 for those of you keeping track at home wondering where 181 is, and that is up on iTunes right now. It is the staff meeting, and it's all basic, just us gibbering on. No rhyme or reason. We just find stuff, then just talk about random stuff. So if you want to hear us in the raw and completely unedited, that is the file you need to look for. It's up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and a lot of other places. And it's up at packardpokes@wordpress.com. It's labeled The Staff Meeting, so you can't miss it. So give it a chance. Give it a listen. Especially if you've got a long drive ahead of you, then it's well worth the listen then. But anyway, let's get on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. You're going to go to build a house, but you don't have any designs. Well, you can always find something online, but designs, buying a design from an architect or something, can be very, very expensive. However, there is something new on the horizon. That is a project that can let anyone download and print your own house. Yes, I said print your own house. I'm not talking you just print out the plans, but I'm talking about you actually print out the boards and everything. You take the program or whatever to a place that cuts wood specifically, and you can literally have them design the cutouts so you can build it like almost like a Lego brick house. It's not using Legos, you're using wood and things like that, and things you can get at any store anywhere. Unlike the 3D house that we talked about several months ago, which has to be made out of concrete and you have to have it shipped over to where it's being built up, and then, you know, of course, that's all just concrete. This is made of practical materials you can get fairly cheaply and under $80,000, and in just a few days, you could have your own house. So if you have $80,000 lying around, or if you figure you're going to have $80,000 in any amount of time, you can build your own house a little at a time, and you can find out a lot of interesting prints on there. I actually looked at this. They've got quite a different variety of houses. One's called Eric's S Shed, Wiki House version 3-3, and SketchUp Makefair Pavilion, Wiki House 3 version 3.1.3, and that's just like an end piece, and they got windows, and they've even got a Wiki Christmas tree on the page there. You can actually build your own Christmas tree. Hey, for, you know, it's like four pieces or maybe two pieces. I don't know. One's called an Ascot House, and there's another Wiki House NZVO 2.0. 4.0. So apparently these houses are different designs. So you can just add on to wherever. And if you want to submit a house design, the house has to come apart so you can basically put it back together, and it has to be open source. So it's like a Creative Commons house. Dave, your thoughts?
Well, this house was actually designed by Tech Savvy Pigs, and it's been tested by big bad wolves around the world, and stands up to the toughest huffing and puffing that can come towards it. Actually, it's a really cool idea, and it's really, I like the fact that they're looking into different ways to make more affordable housing. I don't know that $80,000 is super affordable.
Yes.
But hopefully this technology will lead to something that will be more affordable in the future. I mean, the article claimed that houses in America average $300,000. I don't know many people who, I mean, especially people who are looking at smaller houses like that, who are paying $300,000, at least not in Michigan.
I think they're looking at, when they say that kind of price range, they're talking like California, New York, more heavy populous areas, Texas, Florida, you know.
Perhaps. I mean, I think that that's really cool. It's cool how you can actually design a house and then get the plans, have it printed, and within a matter of a few days, you're able to actually put it together, and with minimal training, it's fairly remarkable.
Yes.
I just hope that the price does come down. I mean, they are saying that the price is affordable. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound within the realm of reason for today's economy.
Right.
Concerned.
Yes. No. One of the things is that the wood, it's called Smart Ply. Essentially, it's a humidity resistant particle board. They're cut into numerous jigsaw pieces like using a CNC mill. So basically, they just basically take the wood down, cuts it right up to the right places and the right shapes and everything. So it looks kind of like if you're doing Lego bricks or a little puzzle. It's you just snap it, joint A to snap joint B. So if you like doing puzzles, they even have, I was looking at the site there, they even had a wiki ladder, so you could build your own ladder. So I don't know. No, I suppose if you're going to build a whole house, I suppose you should be able to build a whole ladder, you know. Kind of your thoughts.
Well, I think anybody who's ever bought anything from IKEA might look at this and go, oh my God, no. The fact that they compare it to Lincoln Logs, all right, if they've compared it to Legos, I might have been a little bit better. But the fact that they compare it to Lincoln Logs, has anybody ever built anything with Lincoln Logs and not just like been able to bump it and have it fly apart? But and I love everything Dave had to say about the price. I'm going, what planet do you live on that you think that $80,000 for just, you know, building your house is okay? You know, it's just, they tried to say that, yeah, if you're in an area where you have to have emergency housing, this would be a really good solution. And I go, I don't think it's that cost effective. It's still probably cheaper to bring in mobile homes, for example, than to bring in something like this. But yeah, the materials, I was trying to figure out, okay, when they say 80,000 too, is it just for the interior? Does this count the wiring? Does it count everything else? Because you can still get that, but I don't know if that's all included in this price.
That's true.
The exterior material that they're using is a super extreme version of MDF, which is, you know, and the interior materials too, by the way, they're like mold and mildew resistant, and they're, you know, built for high moisture environments. But I don't know, I didn't build a lot of models. I did a lot of puzzles as a kid, and you always have that one piece that's missing.
You're always missing one piece. You can't finish it. It's like,
yeah, you need a CNC machine. Now, and everybody says, oh, yeah, this is really easy. Well, CNC machines are really big, and they're very expensive. My husband used to work in a cabinet shop, and there was the CNC, which the beauty of that is if you lay out the parts correctly, you can get almost 100% usage out of a sheet of material. It figures, and you look at the designs, and everybody's figuring out how many pieces you can get per sheet. In that sense, it's very efficient. But again, now I'm telling everybody, the only hardware holding this thing together are the screws when you finish it. It's all about sliding everything in slots. And I'm like, no, there's a reason that, I mean, for a temporary solution, temporary shelter, maybe. But there's a reason that we use metal, we use screws, we use nails, and we use rebar in our construction. Yeah. So,
especially out in the Midwest where there's, you know, these things called tornadoes you know.
Or in California where they have earthquakes. Yep. Sorry, what is it called? An earthquake?
Earthquake. Yeah, I think they call those earthquakes out there.
In children's stories where they have big bad wolves.
That's right.
It's a tornado from underground, Connie. That's what those are. It's an underground tornado.
Well, I would invite the wolf in and have coffee. How you doing?
Apparently, they had one out in London until September 26th, which is today, unfortunately. So if you're in London and you didn't get a chance to go see it, well, you're too late. So
some big expo or something, right?
Yeah, some big expo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it took them less than $100,000, and they get to choose the ladder. So I don't know.
But they keep the ladder.
They get to keep the ladder. No.
Same.
That's not fair. They keep the ladder. Now, one of the things I thought was really funny on the site here is the way they put this. They said, so how do a bunch of unskilled noobs put together a house that doesn't fall apart when you open the front door? Think of it like putting a model plane from a punch-out cardboard sheets, 350 panels of product called Smart Ply, and that's where that comes from. So I was like, I tried putting models together when I was a kid, and it didn't really work out really all that well. You always have a bag of parts left over, and you don't know what to do with them all. So you just kind of hang it there, and the wing is like, I'm going to fall off any moment now. So...
All I can think of is the Mystery Science Theater movie. Those decals are really hard to get on without ripping off.
I never got around to putting decals on. I said, I had it hard enough too in this. I'm not, fuck it, I'm not putting the decals on. That was just too much work. Anybody have any last thoughts on this?
Build a regular house.
Build a regular house, right. Build a regular house. All right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. And tonight, it's whisper time. So we're going to drop the Packard Pokes at Twitter, and we're going to move it to a different location. So if you have a comment during our whisper segment, your comments will show up. They'll just show up at a different location. So let's get to our first whisper for this evening. And the first one is for Connie. Yay. It says, I was crying again, and I saw this on my sleeve. It's weird, but it cheered me up. And apparently, when they were crying, they made a little heart shape on their sleeve.
That's snot. Wipe it off. There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball. Nice. Okay, Dave, there are people who can tear a phone book in half with their bare hands, and I just used scissors to open a bag of chips.
That phone book thing's a trick. I mean, there's like a whole method to it. It's a trick.
That's right.
So you know, scissors is acceptable.
Those bag of chips, though, those are really hard. Those,
that,
yeah,
that picture of a muscle is a little creepy there.
It is a little creepy.
Anybody ever open up a bag of chips and just have it explode everywhere?
It's like, roof! Where do the chips go? They're everywhere.
The problem is that his giant muscles are stopping his, like, his small finger dexterity, you know? he can't do fine tasks.
And you do need to have fine motor skills for that.
Yeah.
Okay, mine. My friend calls her vagina sorting hat, okay? One day, I'll know she's found Mr. Right when she gets a message that simply says, Gryffindor. Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. If your vagina is talking, there's a whole movie revolved around that. So, just saying, I've seen some of it. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Just hope it doesn't have teeth.
Yes, exactly.
Just hope it doesn't say expelli amus.
If your vagina actually starts talking, please seek either medical help. Or a psychiatrist, one of the two. So, Okay, Connie, I never donated to No Kid Going Hungry, but I donate to the pet shelter.
Well, you don't realize it, but you've donated to the same place.
Well, kids are pretty much like
animals. I'm sorry.
Kids are little animals, so.
Well, better if the animals are food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you run out of food, you eat the animal. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Soylent Green is people.
Soylent Green is people. All right. Dave, I've loved someone for 7 years, but never was able to tell him. But now I'm carrying his daughter.
We'll put it down and have a conversation.
I think there's a little bit more that we're missing to this conversation. All of a sudden, how'd she get pregnant with his kid?
No, she's just carrying it.
You're just carrying it, okay. Put the child down.
It's called abduction.
Yeah, it's called abduction.
I'm carrying his daughter until he talks to me.
Okay, mine. I whore myself out to hide my depression away for a little while. Well, don't we all? I mean, you know, you gotta love everybody around you. I'm just kidding. No, you don't.
Plus, it's easy money. I mean,
it's, yeah.
Says money can't buy happiness.
Right.
Might as well be profitable.
Right. Exactly. All right, we're going to go through this one more time. Connie, last night my wife was crying and saying she's a loser. I comforted her, but I secretly agree with her. Oh, you're a bad husband. I'm sorry. That wasn't my turn.
Well, what he doesn't know is her biggest reason she feels like she's a loser is she's married to a...
Oh, she's probably married. She's married to a loser.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Okay, Dave, I once took a selfie and didn't realize it until later that someone in the background was having a seizure. Whoa.
Oh my God.
How do you not realize you've taken a selfie? And how do you not realize someone behind you is flipping out?
No, they realized they took the selfie. They didn't realize that the person behind them was having a seizure from the
oh, yeah.
Their strobe light flash on their cell phone.
It's all your fault. It's all your fault. It's all your fault, person, whoever you are. Okay, I'm ashamed to admit
it. Plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability. I'm ashamed to admit I just got into an argument with Siri. Worst part, pretty sure Siri won. Well, of course, Siri is way more intelligent than you will ever be because you tell Siri to find something and it usually does.
What are you doing, Dave?
Find Jesus? Tell me that, Siri.
I don't understand the question.
I've asked it that question. I can't remember the answer. It says, I think it said, I can't help you with that, I guess. But something like that. All right. Well, that's it for that. But if you have a word or something you want us to look up, for our next integration of Shh, It's a Secret, because we can search words, specific words. So if you want to make this more fun for you and for us, go ahead and tell us a word up on packardpokes@wordpress.com or over on our Facebook page at facebook.com/packardpokes@. I would like to remind everybody, if you would like to make a donation to the show, you can go over to patreon.com/packardpokeset. That's patreon.com/packardpokeset, where you can donate as little as a dollar once a month. $1 a month, that works out to, I don't know, a 2 or 3 cents a day. So how can you go wrong, really? And it's good for a good cause. It's for us.
Yeah, buy Packard some more tropical themed shirts.
Right. I need some new shirts, people. I need some new shirts. But if you want to get in contact in some other ways, we're going to give you that information right now, and we'll be back in just a few minutes to ruin the rest of the show for you.
You should contact us by email at ppapodcast or packardpokesat@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter as @packardpokesat and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/packardpokesat or just type Packard Pokes At into the Facebook search bar. Call or Google Voice at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727 and leave a short message and we will play it on the show. Join in the show live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokesAt. Download and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Mixler Radio, and watch the show on YouTube. Visit our show page at PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the stories and purchase merchandise from CafePress.com/PackardPokesAt to support the show. For everyone that rates us, you are awesome sauce.
Let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Get a divorce.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that a sin?
Marge, just about everything is a sin. You ever sat down and read this thing? Technically, we're not allowed to go to the bathroom.
We've got a video for you tonight. Now, we're going to be talking about the Pew results that just came out and about how religion is being wanted to be more religion in government, which is really surprising to me. But we're going to show you that video right now.
The poll said that 72% believe religion should have more influence in politics. 49% want churches and houses of worship to express views on political issues. That's up from 43% in 2010. And 41% say political leaders demonstrate too little expression of religious faith and prayer. That's up from 37% in the last midterm elections. 32% say clergy should indeed endorse candidates from the pulpit. That's a 24% increase since 2010.
That is some really interesting results. And I did look this up, and it's apparently there is some growing support for religion in politics. It is up a little bit. But the thing is, the views for churches that say they should keep out of politics is at 48%, and the views that say that they should be in there is at 49%. It's very evenly split at this point, which is really interesting in that regard. I personally think that government and religion should always be kept separate. That's the way the framers of the Constitution put it up and set it up. So this way we keep those two apart, because otherwise we're going to end up with a theocracy and nobody's going to want that. Dave, your thoughts?
Pew does a lot of these different polls. A couple years ago, it was Pew that had discovered that the number of the nuns and the atheists and agnostics had increased in America. And, I mean, it's a significant increase based on small percentages, so it's really not a lot of the population, but still an increase nonetheless. Then 2 years later, there's a big, you know, change as far as support for religion and politics to be together. I think that atheism and a separation of church and state and secularism issues are becoming more part of the public. People, we're more visible now than we were in the past. We are obviously a large talking point on Fox News and different networks that like to, you know, discuss us. And I think that we're just more visible, and a lot of people are fighting back against that. I also think that this is, that sort of support is something that comes out of, you know, fear of losing the religion, because the religion is on the decline.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, this, it's interesting. Support for gay marriage is down by a few points.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. But overall, that's the individual polls, but the yearly average is at 52%. So that's still going up, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, according to this poll, 34% of white evangelicals believe the GOP has, quote unquote, not done a good job of representing their views on abortion because the party is too liberal.
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't believe that. It's like, it's almost half, it's split there, too. The GOP is their... The people in the GOP themselves are saying, half of them say, you're not doing a good enough job, you're not conservative enough, and the other half is like, yeah, we need to be a little less conservative. I'm like, that is so bizarre.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is actually pretty terrifying. But I also think as atheism gains more steam and religion starts to decline more, we're going to see more of this. I mean, it's not just going to go away. It's things like this fight back, and ideas that are old ideas. This is what religion looks like when it's dying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's fighting. Exactly. It's fighting for breath. Connie, your thoughts?
Religion losing its influence. One of the polls said that 72% thought that religion is losing its influence, and then most of the people who acknowledge that say that that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to take a majority to create conflict. And you know, again, this is something I've been wondering about what Dave just said. Are we seeing the death throes, not of Christianity in general, but of evangelical fundamentalist kind of churches and of the patriarchal, you know, authoritative religions like Catholicism, mm-hmm. where you have your edicts come down and the people are following it. And I wish that we had the poll exposing what percentage of those people in the GOP who think that the GOP isn't conservative enough. Because I'm pretty sure we'd find that it fell down along those lines of the extremists within Christianity. We know so many people. I know a lot of people who are still Christian, obviously, and some of them are fundamentalist, and others of them are more moderate in mm-hmm. their views. They wouldn't balk at, you know, gays being married or anything like that. They're for, you know, personal freedoms and rights. And while I'm conflicted a little bit because when I was a Christian, a lot of my reasons and the ways that I voted did come from my beliefs because mm-hmm. I held them deeply. They were my morals. They were, you know, they dictated my morals. They guided my morals. They, you know, they were a post. But then again, I'm telling you too, I mean, you know, gay rights weren't necessarily on the voting polls back when I was still a Christian. So I understand people trying to sort through. I understand that these people, they think they're doing the right. They probably think they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Dawkins Dog in the chat room said, if religion wants to influence government, then they should pay taxes.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with that.
There's too much authoritarian control coming from the pulpit, and that is why the pulpit should stay clear of this issue, absolutely. I think. If people want to make their choices for themselves, then what their pastor should say is read your Bible and look at the issues and decide for yourself. And I have to think that some of this shift might be coming from the fact that, for example, with gay rights, has more to do with people's own uncomfortableness with homosexuality than mm-hmm. it does with religion in particular, possibly. Oh, yeah. But it's an interesting shift, and I'm kind of glad. I'm glad that this is happening because this discussion has to happen. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. I just would like people to wake up and understand what they're voting for and understand what they're doing when they say, "Well, I think I'm being a loving person," but when you're denying other people their basic rights to liberty and, you know, just being able to buy a wedding cake or whatever, you think that's okay for you, somebody to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to serve you.
That doesn't make sense. That just because someone is gay, they say, I don't want to serve you my services. That I never understood that. Their money is just as good as anybody else's. In fact, from the last research I heard some time ago, and I don't know if it's changed or not, that gay people spend a lot more money than, you know, straight people do. So I, again, like you said, that's probably old information, so I'm not really sure if it's still true or not.
Well, and I don't mean to ramble, but there was, for example, a priest in California, Rodriguez, and he was trying to say that he's against gay marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's Catholic, but he said he's for immigration. The Catholic Church is for letting people immigrate from South America and, you know, Central America, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, the last I checked, you know, the Catholic Church is basically the church down there. Mm-hmm. So it's in their best interest to promote immigration, you know, which is a kind of a dispute, you know, here in America, but they're still going to be against gay marriage. I thought, that serves your interests, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah.
So increases your coffers. Or maybe they're looking at they're taking care of their constituent. They're taking care of their congregation. I'll give them that. You know, I might, but still. Anyway, their influence is increased by that. So, yeah, no, politics and religion should be firmly separated.
Absolutely, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anybody have any last thoughts on this?
Pulpit Freedom Sunday is October 5th, 2014, where a lot of religious leaders are encouraged to give sermons from their pulpits And I would just say try and pay attention to that.
Mm. Yeah, that's actually a good point, because as far as the IRS tax code in America goes, they are allowed to talk about different political issues. They can they can say whatever they want about abortion or initiatives and stuff like that. What they are not allowed to do is endorse political candidates.
Yes.
That is, it's strictly, they're not allowed to endorse political candidates. And due to this recent court case with the Freedom From Religion Foundation that was settled, the IRS has agreed that any church that is endorsing political candidates will be, I'm not exactly sure what exactly the process is, but the IRS is going to hold them accountable for doing that.
Oh, good. It's about time, too.
Thank you. Yes.
And so if you do know or know of a church or see a church or hear of a church or any of that that is endorsing political candidates, especially on that day when it's, you know, they do it as a rebellion against the separation of church and state, you know, contact the Freedom From Religion Foundation and have the IRS follow up on that. I mean, I have no problem with churches being tax exempt because I think that that helps preserve the separation of church and state. But once they start breaking the law and breaking the tax code and everything that's under tax code, you know, the Section 501c3, they need to pay to play, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. I always get, I get these people, and I randomly go through Whisper every once in a while, and they say, religion, it's a personal relationship with God. I said, okay, fine, then I'll stop over at your church, and you can start paying your back taxes because, you know, your relationships aren't tax-free. You know, your church. Yeah, churches got to pay. Your church
is. If it's not a religion, then it doesn't get tax exemption.
Exactly. I've had a relationship. I was married. I didn't get tax-free status. Doesn't work that way. So if you want to have a relationship with God, that's fine. But we're going to tax you. You know, your church is, that means
Jesus.
Your yeah.
Come on. Up, up.
Come on. I actually posted one that says, it's Sunday, bitches. Where's my money? Had a picture of Jesus holding the gun, you know. I did want to put this, I did want to say this. Dawkins tweeted this out and somebody retweeted it. He says, I support the separation of church and planet, Eric Idle. So,
yep, Eric Idle.
Yep.
It's a quote.
That's a great quote. It's a great quote. Yay. Okay, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And on tonight's Did You Know They're an Atheist? We're going to be talking about David Gilmour. He was born on March 6, 1946. He's an English musician, singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist. I don't know. Is that a federal crime somewhere? No, I'm just kidding. He's best known. He's best
all
known.
The instruments are consenting, so.
Okay. Oh, good. That's good. He's best known for his work as a guitarist and co-lead vocalist for the progressive rock band Pink Floyd. It's estimated in 2012 the group had sold 250 million records worldwide, including 74.5 million units sold in the United States alone. And he says, I'm an atheist and I don't have any belief in an afterlife. You could say that I'm resigned to the fact that this wonderful life that we get here is it. And having hit 60, it's a good time to get resigned to these things and not be too nervous or upset and enjoy what great times one can have. And that was in Newsday, published March 30th, 2006. And that was from the wiki. Unfortunately, we could not reference it any further than that. So if you can find the reference from that Newsday article, that would be great. Send it to me, and I'd love to publish it up online. Dave, your thoughts?
Pink Floyd as a band has influenced my life tremendously. They're my favorite band growing up, and I actually am currently wearing a Pink Floyd belt buckle.
Cool.
Have been my favorite band for a long time, most of my life. I listen to them a lot less now. I am very excited for this new album. The last album that they came out with was in 1994 when they came out with The Division Bell, and now they're coming out November 10th with The Endless River. which will be, I mean, that's their first album in 20 years. David Gilmour is the, he's actually the second guitar player for Pink Floyd. They had Sid Barrett before that. Mm-hmm. Sid Barrett famously went a little crazy.
Oh.
The song Shine On You Crazy Diamond was actually written about Sid Barrett.
Oh, really?
Which arguably has some of David Gilmour's best guitar playing on it.
Cool.
But it's interesting that the Endless River that's coming out is actually dedicated to Richard Wright, who's another founding member of Pink Floyd, who died in 2008. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be a lot of songs on this album that will be about him, and probably pretty touching and sentimental.
That's cool.
I'm very, very excited for it. Pink Floyd is anti-religious at its finest throughout the years. I wish I could find quotes from the height of their fame in the 70s where both David Gilmour and Roger Waters spoke out against religion quite a lot. You know, they're very critical of religion in many of their songs, in many of their rants on stage, in many of their interviews. I mean, in Roger Waters' solo career, he put out a song that was called What God Wants, God Gets, God Help Us All.
Oh, nice.
I can't talk enough about how great they really are as a philosophical band, as an anti-religious band, as a musical band. Mm-hmm. They touch upon classical themes and heavy metal, rock, and everything else. So David Gilmour was my choice as an atheist to cover in this, and I'm happy that we did, and I'm very excited for this new album. It's coming out November 10th.
Cool. I just want to read this from the chat room. Torvian from the chat room, he says, only two people that ask who Pink Floyd is, those that are too young and those that have killed those brain cells.
So, uh-huh.
Connie, your thoughts?
I had such an enjoyable couple hours looking up about reading about David Gilmour, reading about other things he produced, and about the new album, about how evidently I was like, okay, how are they creating this? And it was from the 94 Division Bell sessions, I guess, when Rick Wright mm-hmm. was still writing with them, and all the ups and downs of his career, of, you know, Gilmour's career. It was awesome. I found a site on YouTube that had a bunch of Pink Floyd, and I was listening to the music. So anytime I can get lost in some music, I'm extremely happy while I'm doing other things. And the new album is actually mostly instrumental, which is extremely exciting. I guess that was one of the problems that the band was having in their end, was one of the last albums that they produced. It was too wordy. It was too many lyrics and not enough music, or it was imbalanced, was what Gilmour was saying. So, and the other thing I would say about the new album, Endless River, for all of you Doctor Who fans, I'm assuming that this might be what it's from.
Oh, cool.
Side 3, track 4 and 6 are Alonzi 1 and Alonzi 2. I saw that, and I grabbed my son and my daughter's boyfriend, who are big Doctor Who fans. I said, look at this. So, and I wish that I still collected vinyl, because the album cover for the newest album is just gorgeous. Mm. I love the artwork. So, definitely looking forward to this. And I'm so excited that such a creative and quiet man is a skeptical thinker and an atheist. So, and he says it in his music. He says he puts all of these things in his music. I'm really happy. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that they're making this more instrumental. The last few albums that they did were after Roger Waters had left the band, and Roger Waters, the longest time after Sid Barrett, was the sole person who wrote the lyrics. And David Gilmour has always had a really hard time writing lyrics. Mm-hmm. On the Division Bell, a number of those songs, the lyrics were actually written by music producers and not he himself, because he couldn't do it.
Interesting.
And not that he could, he just didn't have the confidence, I don't think. So I find it interesting that it's going to be largely instrumental. I think that I'm excited because it sounds as though he may have more creative control on this album than he has in the past couple.
Apparently, Joe in the chat room, he says, I tried to sign up my dog for Columbia House. They sent me a letter that my address was banned. Okay. You don't want to deal with those people anyway. You're in for an arm and a leg with those people. So. Okay, did anybody have any last thoughts then?
Buy the album.
That's
Pink Floyd rocks.
Pink Floyd rocks. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for coming to the show. We'll be back next week with our regular longer show, and hopefully we won't have so many computer issues. I do apologize. You know, it's Packard Pokes at. If you don't, we don't have computer issues, you're watching the wrong show. But anyway, thank you for coming, and we will be back next week. This has been Packard Pokes at. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.